Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1972 with a release date of Friday, August 14th, 2015 follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams remember Hurricanes Katrina and Rita 10 years later. Officials take a second look at frequencies to be used by China's newest satellites. In Poland, a fitting on-the-air tribute honors a World War II codebreaker. And we ride along with the most mobile of mobile hams via bicycle. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1972 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin this week with events marking anniversaries, one for an international reciprocal license agreement and another for two devastating natural disasters in the U.S. In Japan, the Tokyo International Amateur Radio Association has kicked off the 30-year anniversary of the reciprocal licensing agreement the Japanese signed with the United States in 1985. With the start of its 8J1 JAUS operation earlier this month, hams will be operating through February 29, 2016. The stations will be at different locations throughout Japan, working SSB, PSK31, CW, RTTY, and other modes. The association is hoping to hear stories from hams in the United States who've operated while in Japan and from hams in Japan who have operated while in the U.S. For more information, visit the Tokyo Association's website. You'll find that link in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline Report. Hurricanes Katrina and Rita forever changed the face of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas when they tore through those states in 2005. As the devastated Gulf Coast area struggled to recover, hams throughout the country stepped in to restore the region's connections with assistance and concerned family members. The Southeast Louisiana Amateur Radio Club, SEALARC, is commemorating the 10th anniversary of both storms August 29th, the day of Katrina's arrival on the Mississippi Gulf Coast near Burris, Louisiana. SSB operation will be on 7.200, 7.250, 14.155, and 14.255 megahertz, with CW on 7.050 and 14.050. For QSL cards, send a stamped self-addressed envelope to the club. That's SEALARC, S-E-L-A-R-C, at Post Office Box 1324, Hammond, Louisiana, 70404. And beginning on August 26th and continuing through September 2nd, an international memorial event will take place honoring the more than 235 who did not survive Katrina. Stations along the Mississippi coast will operate using one-by-one calls that start with the letter K for the storm's name. A special thank-you station will also operate with the call sign K5T in appreciation of all volunteers who assisted in the aftermath. In addition to QSL cards, four certificates will be available. For more information, you can visit the website www.katrina5h.com. By the time it was over, Hurricane Rita became the Gulf's most intense tropical cyclone ever and the fourth most intense Atlantic hurricane recorded. And Katrina had become one of the nation's five deadliest hurricanes and the country's costliest natural disaster. Two hams were honored by the Central States VHF Society at their recent annual conference held in Denver. The Society's John Chambers Memorial Award was presented to Wayne Overbeck, N6NB, for having achieved new world records on both 2.3 and 3.4 gigahertz. This marks the second time Overbeck has received this award, which he also won in 1978. The Society also presented its Wilson Award to Lauren Libby, W0LD, for outstanding longtime service to the Central State Society. Last week, we introduced you to Don Keith, N4KC, the author of two new common sense books that serve as roadmaps to success for ham radio newcomers. This week, Amateur Radio Newsline's Cheryl Lassick, K9BIK, concludes her talk with this prolific Elmer, whose books guide confused rookies but also provide a reliable roadmap for long-timers.
Did ham radio have anything to do with your career as a writer?
One of the strong points about our hobby is that it can prepare you for a career in ways a lot of people maybe have not thought of. Yes, it can be a wonderful way to bring yourself up to speed on technical topics, electricity, electronics, propagation, antennas, all that sort of thing. It can prepare you for a career in a technical field, such as engineering. But the hobby also allows you to learn to communicate, to be able to get on a microphone and express yourself, to be able to get in front of a group of people, maybe a round table on 75 meters or wherever, and learn to express yourself. I think one of the great things that the hobby can do for us as we prepare for a career in life or a new career in life is to help us learn to communicate. the license is a license to learn, and you may actually have interests in areas you haven't even thought about that you will learn about as you become a ham radio operator and get active on the air that could lead to another career in life.
And Don, have you run across any challenges people have told you about that were so unusual that it left you baffled, or for that matter, even amused?
I had one good friend who I think will still make an excellent amateur radio operator, who vowed he would never get on the air until he was able to copy Morse code at 30 words per minute and carry on a complete conversation without missing a single character. As I pointed out to him many times, the best way to get to 30 words per minute is get on the air and have conversations with folks, even if you don't copy every single character.
Your book title, Get on the Air Now, is probably the most encouraging thing anyone can say to a mic-shy, nervous ham. Is there any other solid advice to rookies you can sum up in a few words for us?
That book title might sound a little Nazi. You will get on the air now. But that's not really the intent. I strongly believe that those people who have a hesitation about getting into the hobby are only going to continue to have the same perceived obstacles if they don't get on the air. But we need to remember that that is our biggest stumbling block when we first got our licenses, were those apprehensions we had about putting together a station, putting up an antenna. What would we say? What would we do? And how will I ever understand all that goofy jargon that those guys use on the air? Once you get on the air and join in, you'll find a welcoming group of people out there that will help you get past those initial hurdles. I urge people to buy the right books, join clubs, talk to other amateurs, even if you have to flag somebody down because you saw a ham radio tag. And you will find most hams are wonderful and eager Elmers that will help you get over those hurdles and get you on the air and get you into the hobby. And you can enjoy it as much as I have for the past 54 years.
I want to take this time to thank you for joining us today on Amateur Radio Newsline. I really appreciate that. Any closing words?
If you know somebody who has shown an interest in the hobby, and especially someone who has become licensed and fell into the trap of never actually getting on the air and learning all the various things that the hobby can offer, urge them to go ahead and get on the air now. And they're likely to find something out there that fascinates, challenges, or interests them. The hobby is not for everybody. I just want to make sure that those for whom it is are eager and able to get on the air and learn exactly what it is that has attracted you and me and several million other folks.
Thank you very much. And to learn more about these books by N4KC or to see the many articles Don has written about how you can get more out of the hobby, visit N4KC.com. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Lassick, K9BIK, in Zion, Illinois.
Thank you, Cheryl. The International Amateur Radio Union is keeping a cautious eye on satellite operations on certain amateur radio bands, concerned about the potential for conflicts in different parts of the world. IARU Secretary Rod Stafford, W6ROD, said that despite existing band plans drawn up by volunteer satellite coordinators, the union is aware of some parts of the world where problems are brewing. Stafford said in an August 7th statement, "The IARU has now become aware of plans to launch a series of satellites where the frequencies proposed appear to conflict with existing IARU band plans in some parts of the world. IARU is investigating how this has arisen and is discussing the issues with the parties involved." He did not identify any satellites by name. However, AMSAT UK says some of the frequencies proposed for China's launch of 9 satellites in September are not aligned with the Region 1 band plan for 2 meters. Meanwhile, in China, the amateur satellite group CAMSAT has reported that the 9 satellites in question, carrying amateur radio payloads, have arrived at the Taiyun Satellite Launch Center in central China. CAMSAT CEO Alan Kung, BA1DU, said their launch will be sometime between September 7th and September 9th. Industry and academia merge in Paris at European Microwave Week 2015, a 6-day event taking place in September. With 3 conferences, courses, workshops, and seminars, participants will be able to have direct interaction with major movers driving the future of microwave technology. Subject areas will include microwave, RF, wireless, and radar, with sessions on antennas and propagation, telecommunication, sensors and remote systems, and wireless technologies. For details, visit the website www.eumweek.com. And yes, paperwork does matter, even if your field day logs were submitted in some other form, such as through an app or an email. The ARRL is asking all field day participants to visit their logs received page on the ARRL website and review the list for any errors. Although the deadline for field day entries has long since passed, it's important to verify your records for accuracy. If you find anything in dispute, contact Matt Wilhelm, W1MSW by 0400 UTC August 21st and provide the correct information. He can be reached at the ARRL offices. That number is 860-594-0232. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. Now and through the end of the month of August, radio amateurs around the world are being asked to help honor a Polish codebreaker and mathematician whose work contributed to the later success of British cryptanalysts' work during World War II. The Polish Amateur Radio Union has organized Enigma Award special event stations throughout Poland, honoring mathematician Marian Rejewski on the 110th anniversary of his birth. Rejewski was among the Polish codebreakers to work on the German Enigma codes before the war broke out. Special event stations will operate on all bands between 80 and 10 meters using CW phone and all digital modes. The stations will be using one of five special call signs, and each radio operator having a QSO with one of these stations will receive a cryptogram to decode, honoring the spirit of Rejewski's work and that of his team. For details and a list of the call signs, visit the website enigmaaward.eu. Prizes will be given for the best operators as well as the best SWLs. For the past 5 years, Danish radio amateur Thomas Andersen, OZ1AA/K9DXX, has focused on a cycle that has nothing to do with sunspots. The cycle that carries him in this case is the two-wheeler he's been riding around the globe. His travels have mostly found him headed northbound along Route 1 on the east coast of the U.S. Andersen spent most of his overnights with American hams, but oddly enough, his travel gear has not included a radio, because he says he wished to avoid carrying too much weight. He's since changed his mind, as he notes on his QRZ.com page. Andersen writes, "I've come to the conclusion that I'd like to add a small HF rig to my setup. Having a radio in my bag simply seems worth it. Having cycled through India, Turkey, Syria, and Australia, and now making his way through North America, he's ready to head home to Denmark for a spell. For this world traveler, having a ham radio license has probably served him far better than having a deal with a travel agent. Become a ham, he says, and you'll have friends all over the world." Says Andersen, "I can't honestly think of any other hobby where you can show up in any town in any part of the world and be welcome like I have." Radio amateurs worldwide are being asked to assist students at Japan's Nihon University who have been operating on a nanosatellite project known as Sprout for space research on unique technology. The project was launched May 24, 2014. The team is collecting telemetry reports from amateurs who make contact with the satellite on 437.525 MHz using the 1K2 AFSK AX.25 protocol. The call sign is JQ1ZJQ. The beacon is in CW. SlowScan TV is also transmitted from the satellite on 437.600 MHz, and there's also an FM Digitalker and Digipeter on the same frequency. Reports should be submitted by email. Hams are being directed for more details to the Sprout/Miyazaki Laboratory Facebook page. This fall's CQ Worldwide SSB contest will include participation of a team that just years ago could not have been possible. The United States is teaming up with Cuba in pursuit of Good DX, with an average of 9 operators from both countries. The team will operate as T42US on 160 through 10 meters on SSB and CW. The unprecedented teamwork closely follows the normalization of diplomatic relations between the two countries. The team leader in the United States is Jim Milner, WB2REM, and in Cuba, team leader is Bob Ibarra, CM2KL. NDX, in Poland, the radio club SP60KAO celebrates its 60th anniversary with the call HF60KAO until the end of October, QSL via SP9KAO. Also, special event station HF0MK honors the memory of Maximilian Kolb until the end of August, QSL via SP7PZS. In Haiti, Doug, KD8CAO, will be active as HH8/KD8CAO from August 15th to the 22nd. Activity will mainly be on the satellites, SSB and FM, with the possibility of some HF activity using QRP. His activity on the satellites will be on FO29, AO7, AO73, and SO50, QSL via his home call and logbook of the world. In Fernando de Noronha, Leo, PP1CZ, will be active as PY0F/PP1CZ from August 26th to 31st. Activity will be holiday style on 80 through 10 meters with some tries on 6 depending on propagation, using CW, RTTY, and some SSB, QSL via the Bureau, Logbook of the World, or OQRS. GIL, VE4GIL, will operate from various locations in Nunavut in Canada from August 30th through September 7th. He'll be on SSB on 160 through 10 meters, QSOs from Cambridge Bay, Nunavut count for IOTA NA006, QSL directly to VE4GIL. The activation of Antarctica and ZAC 100, marking the 100th anniversary of the World War I battle at Gallipoli, has been postponed. Storm damage has halted plans at Casey Station in Australia's Antarctic Territory. Doug McVeigh, VK0DMV, who is working at the station, says the new dates are being worked out. The WestNet DX group will have members operating from Gola Islands between August 22nd and 27th with operations on all HF bands and in all modes. Look for Declan EI6FR, Liam EI7DSB, and Tony EI2KC. And look for Harry 9M2GET operating from Parentiol Ketchel on August 22nd and 23rd is 9M2GET/P, QSL direct via 9M2GET. And finally this week, for British amateur radio operator Adrian Lane, a recent QSO with the International Space Station was not just a watershed moment, but a garden shed moment as well. That's the backyard building where the former truck driver was sitting when the voice of an American astronaut, some 200 miles overhead, responded after Lane gave his call, 2E0SDR. The QSO ended less than a minute later, but not before the astronaut assured Lane that, yes, it was indeed very dark out there in space, just as he thought. Working the space station is a thrill well known to students around the world who formally apply for scheduled contacts with astronauts. The program is known as Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. But because these communications occur within a very narrow window of opportunity and timing is everything, unscheduled contacts such as Lane's are less common. The press coverage in the days that followed all referred to the content of the actual conversation as being unremarkable. And that's not accurate. You don't need an astronaut's expertise to confirm that it is very, very dark out there in space. But despite the fact that Lane found luck in a shack converted from an outdoor shed, the last way he would describe the experience is garden variety. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, DX World, the 599 DX Association, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Hattiesburg Amateur Radio Club, Hamcall UK, NASA, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, the Polish Amateur Radio Union, CLARC, the Southeast Amateur Radio News, Tiara, Twit TV, QRZ Now, and UR listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in South Mississippi, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.